You might have noticed over the last number of years now, I can say, it's gone by very fast, that I have some favorite passages, passages that I enjoy that have meant a lot to me over the years. This one that Alice just read is one that I've just enjoyed emphatically. It's one that speaks to community, and it's one that speaks to us as a community here at Grandview. So the setting for the words she read is from Acts, and it's the early church. The early church was a brand new joy to discover the fellowship they would have with each other as they came together to worship God. It was a fresh enjoyment because the Holy Spirit was with them all. For the first time in history, the Holy Spirit was with all the followers of God at that time. It's pretty awesome. The reason I just always appreciated it so much, and I've held it in awe almost, is what God does through His people, through the people that gather together to worship Him, that recognize that they are the body of Christ. We're drawn to Christian community. At least we should be. It's a community that is unified in purpose and understanding who Jesus Christ is, but it's a community that wants to pursue the grace of Jesus Christ, pursue His truth more in our lives and in the lives of those we love around us. There's a Greek word for this fellowship that we call it, and that word is koinonia. It's a very well-used word in a lot of Christian circles these days. Koinonia is something that is just very precious to us, and it should be to all Christians. I want you to be familiar with koinonia because we're going to use it in the weeks, months, and years to come as we talk about the life of our church. I would say if I have one grand motivation for our church, it is that we have true koinonia. We have true fellowship as we pursue Jesus Christ, as we pursue life together in the worship of Him. You know, God created us as individuals. We're unique in a lot of ways. And in the church as a whole, we have many different abilities that you're born with, but we also have many different diverse gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. I've often said at weddings that together we can become what we never could be separately. It's like a synergy when we come together as a group, a healthy body of Christ, as we constantly pursue being His followers. To live well, to experience koinonia, the fellowship gifts together, God wants to bless us through that. But it means we need to be serious about being together and how we treat one another. We must exhibit real love, a love that's sincere and authentic. The bride of Christ works best when all the parts are functioning fully in a healthy way and with love. In a practical application of our salvation that we're in now, we need to show our commitment to following the Lord. And when we love each other, when we give ourselves to each other in active koinonia, we become a vital part of the body of Christ. And when you're not here, we miss out. We miss out what you bring to the party. So I appreciate each of you. I'm kind of preaching to the choir right now. I appreciate all of you being here, including you down the stairs there listening in. Glad you could be here with us. Today in our Romans study, we are in our second week on this practical side of our salvation. As we continue our journey on the Roman road, we'll discuss what love means. It's a road that has had its bumps, its bruises, and some of the hills are real steep, but I'm reminded of all the bicycle rides I've done when you get to that downhill slope and there's a cool breeze hitting your face. There are parts of Romans that are just a real joy for us that we can enjoy. Today's text is Romans 12, 9 through 21. And Paul gives us almost in staccato fashion these verses. He gives us 25 very practical and beneficial instructions to live life well. If we practice what he tells us, if we were to practice it throughout our land and all of our churches would really be even more drastically different than they are now. You might recognize the words we'll talk about. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. I'm sure you're all very familiar with that. It's used often at weddings. I know I have used it often at weddings. But it's also a great passage as it talks to us as believers in the family of God. And it is really about our love for each other too. In Romans 12, 9 through 21, we get specific details of how we should live together. You'll be seeing most of these instructions relate to relationship, good relationships. It's the essence. It's the core of koinonia. It's the essence of community. Relationships are very important to God, and you only have to look to God himself in the Trinity. God himself is community, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Relationships is why God created us, to have a relationship with him forever, but also to have a relationship, a healthy relationship with each other. I've broken down these verses that I'm going to read into four categories. It's fairly simple as I go through. The first one I'll call personal duties. Romans 12, 9 reads, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good." The Apostle Paul's first point is to be real with that love. Not fake, not as a facade, not just going through the motions, but truly to be sincere. Our love for others needs to be not only real, but tangible and practical. It means having a heart for those around us. We're encouraged, even urged, to have authentic and sincere love with each other. Did you notice the word hate? Now, in our culture, the word hate is a pretty strong word. It's true, however, that a healthy, growing Christian should naturally hate what is opposite God, what is wrong. Some translations even say we should hate what is evil. As one of God's own, as a Christian, we just simply have to be offended by sin and evil in our own lives and in the lives around us. But it also means a level of wisdom as we interface with people, a level of wisdom in appropriate hate, to hate the sin. We need to grasp on things that are good, things that are good. Remembering the verse from Philippians 4:8, some of you probably have memorized it. I'll read it. "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." I love that verse, Philippians 4:8. Now we go on to duties of the family of God. So now we specifically talk about our community, the Koinonia part of Grandview. In Romans 12, 10 through 13, it reads, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy." Interesting component here. "But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Enjoy those in the body of Christ. They are your brothers and sisters. Look to honor everyone around you." That's what the passage says. "Above yourself." And this just stuck in my head. Don't be lazy in your efforts to let others know that you care about them. We must be wise with our actions and comments, always looking to guard ourselves, sharing an attitude of hope and encourage to everyone. During a crisis, we need to be patient and demonstrate an attitude of prayer. I have to tell you, when I prepare these sermons, I spend time looking at it. I really think about it. And I get extremely convicted myself. So I don't come to you as a person that does well in all these categories myself. I come as a humble person who's broken just like you. And I struggle. Sometimes I have flippant remarks, and I apologize to those that I offend sometimes. I work at that. No, I'm in process like many of you. In koinonia or fellowship, we should be sensitive to the needs of those spoken. And maybe even more importantly, those unspoken needs that the Lord gives us an ability to pick up on. Knowing how to help others during quiet times of pain and need can be critical to the healthy body of believers. We need to ask God again for wisdom and how to help each other, and also maybe to give us the strength to follow through on that help. True koinonia means that we need to be intentionally hospitable. There's a phrase, intentionally hospitable. Having a space in our lives to let others in. It means an eagerness of using our homes, using our resources, to make other people feel welcome. Inviting others into our home, or for dinner or supper, or maybe even just spending time out, going out together, or hanging out with some people in our church. True fellowship, really, true koinonia, should be a win-win for everybody, as we all look to enjoy the fellowship we have here at Grandview. Category number 3, duties to all people. So now we talk in a broader sense, outside of our community. This is Romans 12, 14 through 16. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. And weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Quite a direct translation there. You know, it'd be nice if we could just stay in this wonderful koinonia bubble we have. I mean, it's predictable, it's safe. But God has plans otherwise for us. God has plans that, no, you just can't stay in a bubble, a tight little community and not talk to anybody. He wants us to step out. He wants us to bless people, to go out and reach out, even though some may act immaturely back to us. They may push back. They may be rude to us. But we need to ask God to help them grow and change. We need to ask God to help us grow and change, to see others as God sees them. We need to share people's burdens whenever possible. And it means the best way to share burdens is to be healthy ourselves, to be spiritually and physically as much as we can be healthy. It's tough to give out what we don't have ourselves. We need to develop an ability to come alongside people and walk with them. And I know many of you are gifted this way. Many of you do this just naturally. You're alongside people. We all need to take time to walk with others. Sometimes it means celebrating with them. Sometimes it means crying with them. It could be as simple as just being with them. You might have heard the term, the gift of presence, just being with people. I don't know, when I get into a crisis sometime, I'm at a loss as to what to say. I mean, I've had classes in that and all that, but sometimes I don't know what to say. The pain's so great, it's so real, it's so right in all of our faces. But God just says, just be with them. That's okay too. You don't have to be an oratory expert to be with somebody. And last little bit of advice here. Don't pry, but care. Enjoy the routine of life God's given you and share that joy with others. Appreciate people and their diversity and their uniqueness, and aren't people really unique? Don't get caught up in social hierarchies, but take pleasure in meeting people. People at different levels that are different than you. All people have a need to experience God's grace. They have a need to experience the peace and comfort that comes from a relationship with Him. So we need to encourage the hope and the kindness that God has. We need to impart the peace that God has. Don't push your knowledge and opinions, but instead seek to learn yourself, discover things about them. In the last category, duties for those we struggle with. Verses 17 through 19 of chapter 12. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Okay, this section, I'm not so excited about talking over. As I read it, I just personally struggled. It's not that I think bad of people. I just, some people I don't want to think about. I'd rather just move on, put them out of my mind. But first things first, let's review some of the principle Paul speaks about. Don't match evil for evil. It's a basic and a clear instruction from Jesus Christ himself throughout the New Testament. We need to focus on being honorable, as it says, maintaining integrity, and not to act foolish or mean. We are to work at living in peace with everyone, at least as much as it's under our control, as much as it's up to us. Give God the matters that hurt you. Trust him to take revenge in his way, in his time. We have no business as Christians going after revenge by our own hands. Revenge is a matter for God. It's not ours. When you think about it, how much more capable, how much wiser and effective is God at leveling the playing field, at getting back at somebody than we are, than we could ever be? I've seen it myself. I've seen his justice. I've seen how absolute and sure it is and how complete it is. Why interfere what is God's business? But here's the real hard part. How do you love those people that are unlovable, that are jerks, that are just mean? They're not only pushed back, they punch you back sometimes. How do you care for people who are actually looking to hurt you? What I'm about to talk about, I want you to take it in context. I'm not asking you to put yourself in harm's way, and I'm not asking you to put yourself in unsafe environments. God also gives you common sense. You need to stay on top of that. In some cases, the best you can do to have a good and healthy relationship is to have good and healthy boundaries, to know where the boundaries are. There's a series of books on that that are marvelous. Sometimes it means building a wall with people who are unsafe or even dangerous. Again, I'm not telling you to be reckless or unsafe. I'm talking about caring for your enemies with a God strategy. Look at Paul's next words. I don't know if you're like me, you struggle with these. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Only through a mighty God, a loving Savior, and the equipping power of a Holy Spirit can we even hope to begin doing this with people that offend us. Feed your enemies if they need it. Share something to drink with them if those who wish to do wrong are around you. I have to say, it's an amazing thing Paul's communicating to us here, and it is extremely unnatural if you're like me, and I'm sure most of you are. It tells us we'll heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Not a phrase we use too often around, but I think the gist of it is explained in the next couple of phrases, and maybe it's the key to it. Do not let evil control you. Don't let evil make you do things you know you shouldn't, you know are wrong. Instead, figure out how you can use God's grace to deal with the matter you're dealing with. Ask the Lord for his wisdom to deal with that. And as I've shared in the past, I have spent time when someone really makes me mad, I go to my little corner all by myself and I think of some of the dastardly things I can do with people. Sometimes I'll spend days. And God will say at a certain point, are you done yet? Are you done now? Yeah, you see, I know what the Lord wants. His Holy Spirit lives in me and I know what He wants. I don't like it sometimes, but thankfully in my life, the majority of my life, God has ruled the day during my weak moments. As I hope He does in your life as well. You see, there's nothing more creative than a sinner, man or woman, when you want to hurt somebody that you can't do. If you really want to hurt people, you can do that. Through Machiavellian ways, through ignoring people, or being strategic, how you influence people around them. There's lots of things you can do. You can be really creative. But is your time best spent there? I think not. So this is quite a list of instructions Paul has given us. He wants his church to be protected, nurtured, and loved. Just as in a marriage where we must work in harmony, we need to tend to care for, almost like a garden, where if you ignore it, weeds come up. Or maybe I should say the farmers. If you ignore those weeds, they just grow. They keep growing everywhere. Is that right, Gary? Yes, indeed. You can never assume a marriage is perfectly in place. You can never assume your relationships are protected no matter how awful you are. We need to care for it. We need to invest in it. And the same is true of koinonia in our church. We need to tend to it. We need to care for it. We need to work in each other's lives in gracious ways, making it a priority, protecting it and safeguarding it. Remember these responsibilities and duties we've talked about as we look to share real, authentic love. The duties each of us can work on as we look to contribute to koinonia, our church family, as others as well, and I just have them listed out. The personal duties, things you directly control that you're responsible for. Duties in the family of God, things you can do here. It doesn't mean you're here every time the door opens, but it means you never lose sight of that family, that koinonia family that you're attached to. And three, duties to all people, our community at wide, maybe even internationally, but in my mind, I think of the community close by here. And last, number four, duties for those we struggle with. Probably the steepest hill of all. How do we deal with that? We should remember that we do all this through the power of God's Holy Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. It's just not possible. The Holy Spirit resides in us. He's powerful. We need to make use of that. It is only through God's grace that we can deal with the undealable and find God-honoring solution to what appears to us to be impossible. As Jesus said in Luke 18:27, what is impossible for people is possible for God. I leave you now with a verse, a final thought, an example of Jesus himself. And given the context, the words are very powerful. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. You might remember it. Verses 12 and 13. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Let me pray. Lord, the ultimate challenge for us is to love like you love us. I have to say, I feel real weak in some categories. I can see loving those people I love, but I struggle by loving some folks who are just mean, who can be jerks. They can be painful. They can even stab us in the back. And Lord, you tell us to reach out with your grace. Your grace that's hard to understand in our lives for our sins, and yet you want us to dispense that to others. I would ask for strength for your Holy Spirit to empower us with His presence, that we can pass along that grace to others. Thank you for these words in Romans. Thank you for the lessons Paul has given us. Thank you for your love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.